So welcome. The good news, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The choir will welcome us into this day.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running back to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one that Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one other at the foot. They asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him." As Mary turned around, she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus.
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?"
Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her,
Mary.
She turned toward him and cried out,
Teacher,
do not hold on to me,
for I have yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord, and she told them what he had said these things to her. Here ends the gospel reading. Please stand for the opening hymn. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Make us die every day to sin, that we may live with him forever. in the joy of the resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Sunday is recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning with the 34th verse. Peter began to speak to the people. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. We'll read Psalm 118 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's mercy endures forever.
God's mercy endures forever.
The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation.
Shouts of rejoicing and salvation echo in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord acts valiantly.
I shall not
The Lord indeed punished me sorely, but did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Here the righteous may enter.
I give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The second reading is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with the 19th verse. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ, but each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Here ends the reading.
Please stand as you're able for the chorus. Chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified. They bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the disciples. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up, ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Amen. Well, here I am in the garden. To God, beloved people, grace to you and peace from God, the creator of life, from Jesus, our Savior and the risen Lord, and from the Holy Spirit, our comforter and counselor. Amen. Like so many women, those women were on a mission on that particular morning. They had their expectations. They had their customs. They had their Jewish rituals. They had their spices carefully prepared, carried in their hands. But when they arrived, things did not go as they expected. The stone closing that tomb was supposed to be as tight as a drum, but it was rolled away. They walked inside. No body. No Jesus. No way, they thought. They were shocked, perplexed, the Bible says. That means to be completely baffled, confused. Their expectations were turned upside down. Remember what I told you last Sunday on Palm Sunday about expectations? How God does not always meet our expectations, but the good news is that God always meets our greatest need. Well, the women and the disciples are all about to be reminded of this good news on this morning. With their faces bowed to the empty ground, in shock, some male voices start speaking. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. They don't even get to catch their breath before those messengers keep going. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man would be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. Don't you just kind of dislike it when you're baffled and confused and mixed up, when your expectations are turned upside down, and even worse, when things aren't the way you expect them, to have some kind of smarty pants start to lecture you and point out the most obvious error of your expectations? It just makes the whole scene so much worse. I remember a mom who was having quite a day, confronted by her little girl, 9 years old. Mommy, tell me now, mommy, I wanna know. Wait till your dad gets home. No, mommy, I wanna know. Where did I come from? She takes a deep breath and then gives the best example of human procreation that she can think of for a 9-year-old. And after she's all done, she says to her little girl, is that okay? And, well, yeah, that's okay, but Sally said she came from Cleveland. I wanted to know where I came from. Expectations are like that. We have expectations. We have expectations about the tomb, about death, about bodies, about the end. We've kind of cut this deal. Expectations, they set us up with a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. Expectations indulge us with the assumption or a belief that someone or something should happen or some event will be actualized. Expectations about death get blown up in this story. The burial customs, the preparation rituals, the anointing of spices, the expectations of a tomb with a stone rolled shut in front of it. All that gets exploded in this Easter story of Luke. And you and I, we're not that much different. We have cemeteries, and we have headstones. And we know that under the headstone is the cemetery is a coffin, and it's holding a corpse. And we know that the coffin that's holding that body is encased in a metal vault, and that it's sealed shut with special screws and bolts that only Mr. Kress has. And if we're to walk to a loved one's grave the morning of Memorial Day with flowers in our hand, we have certain expectations too, just like those three women. We expect to arrive at dawn and not find piles of dirt or the vault lid off and the coffin opened and an empty space in the box. Well, we might just bow down to the ground too in our perplexing, baffling, confused, upset state with our expectations turned upside down. And you and I, well, we might not take too kindly to a couple of men in dazzling clothes lecturing us about the prophecy of Jesus foretelling his own death and resurrection, we might just not like that at all. But the good news, sometimes the very thing we need most is what we least want. And upon hearing the proclamation of those two men in dazzling clothes, the Holy Spirit went to work in the lives of Joanna and Mary and Mary Magdalene. It says in the Bible, then they remembered his words. That is, the women remembered Jesus' words, his speech, his own proclamation of resurrection, that death is not final. They remembered his preaching. They remembered the day he foretold. They remembered how they didn't expect this at all. Even when Jesus said it, they had something else in mind. He would be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise to new life. They didn't figure it like this. Their perplexity, their confusion, even their expectations changed in an instant. The Holy Spirit gave them clarity. The Holy Spirit gave them wisdom and understanding, and most importantly, insight. They could see with the eyes of Jesus. Now they understood. Now they got it. Now they saw life, death, and resurrection in a whole new way. The good news is that the Holy Spirit goes to work in our lives the same way. And things like that happen to us. Maybe not so dramatically, but maybe just as dramatically. But it happens to us. Confusion gives way to clarity. Hardness of heart dies. Compassionate understanding is born anew. Anger and hurt gives way to forgiveness and graceful pardon. And yes, your sons and your daughters who seem to be oblivious to the church will have that moment in their life, I know it, I've experienced it, where the Spirit goes to work and all of a sudden it opens to us those words that we've heard way back when we were young and they seemed as much as idle tales. And our heart is quickened and our mind goes to work and the words shape our path and give our future a purpose. They remembered Jesus' words. They returned from the tomb to the leaven and all the rest, and they told them. These three women, the first preachers of the gospel that Christ is risen from the grave and alive. They, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, the Mary Magdalene, they go and they tell this to all the disciples and all who were with the disciples. And without a doubt, I dare say, it would baffle and perplex them all. Without a doubt, it would blow up their tightly held expectations. And without a doubt, those stubborn men, even Mary's son James, would not believe them. How so many things in life stay the same and don't seem to change. But Peter was different. The Holy Spirit shoved him, pushed him, spooked his memory of Jesus' words, and he ran to the tomb. Peter stooped inside, carefully looked around. He saw the linen cloths all by themselves. No Jesus, no body, no sign of death, no way. Is he really alive? And then Peter went home, amazed at what happened, Luke writes. You know what amazed means? I looked it up. Amazed is an adjective. It amplifies, kind of gives us that steroid jump of feeling or doing or believing. In short, to be amazed is to be greatly surprised, exceedingly astonished, and changed by the event. The good news of Easter is that through Jesus' crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection, the human race is confronted with the perplexing announcement about our expectations concerning death. God's conquered death through his Son, hasn't God? For God so loved the world, he sent his only Son, so that all who believeth in him shall not die, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I have come not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He told us all those things. He said things like, I am the beginning and I am the end. I'm the bread of life. I'm the living water. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. If you've seen me, Jesus says, you've seen the face of God. I am the way and the truth and the life. And those who believe in me, though they die, will live. Now let those words turn your expectations upside down. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Happy Easter. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the sermon.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting God's promises of new life, we pray for the renewal of the church, the world, and all of creation. Hallelujah, God, you are resurrection. Bring joy to your church as we spread the good news that Jesus is risen. Lead us to proclaim this message with persistence and confidence. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hallelujah. God, you are creator. Open our eyes to the first fruits of new life around us, the budding trees, nourishing rains, warm breezes, and freshly tilled soil. Inspire our gratitude and renew our commitment to stewardship of the earth hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hallelujah. God, you are reconciliation. You show no partiality among the nations, but instead call all people to the way of peace. Bring an end to conflict and division. Renew leaders and advocates for peace with a commitment to the common good. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hallelujah. God, you are strength. Awaken hope and perseverance in all who need to hear a word of life this day. Those who are hungry, anxious, oppressed, despairing, or sick. We pray for Scott and Amanda, whose barn burnt. We pray for Jack and Denny Swenson Jr. and David Shanklin. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hallelujah. God, you are light. We give you thanks for all the newly baptized, who by water and your word are forever joined to Christ's death and resurrection. Embolden all who share this baptized life, and renew us in faith and in action. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Hallelujah. God, you are comfort. Draw near to all who grieve. Refresh us with the promise that you will destroy death, and that with all the saints, we will be made alive forever in Christ. Hear us, O God. We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near us with your saving help, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share the peace of the Lord with one another. Now the great paint rises
from the very grave. The heaven and earth beneath is sustained. Love is a gift, and with the dead is dead. Love is not a gift, but without Christ's
This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, and after he'd given thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Please join me in the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Today, communion will be by intention. You'll be given a piece of bread, dip it into the wine, and eat. Communion will also be walked through with two stations up front. This is God's gift of love, God's gift of grace. All are invited. For the communion assistants, please come forward. The body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior strengthen you and keep you in his grace till life everlasting. Amen.
Good Christian friends, rejoice and sing. Now is the time of the Lord.
Today we celebrate the risen Christ, the one who lives. O living Lord, with this bread and wine, your body and blood, raise us from the dead and make us live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the living Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God.